All right, welcome into another Late Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. I feel like at the start of this show, we should just pick up with what Jason DeRussia did at the end of his show, and I love the segment, Enough. Enough. Where he asked all of you in the listening audience, what have you had enough of? I've had enough, and I hope that many of you have had enough of being lied to. I am tired of politicians who have been elected to do right by all of us, insulting our intelligence, lying to our faces. It is utterly frustrating to see it. And we know it. And we can call it out for the lies that we're being told. Yesterday, we started off the show talking about incompetence. That was the word of the day. Today, I've had enough of being lied to. And I think that all of you should feel that way. I don't care how you identify politically, the bottom line is you would not be accepting of your girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, whoever, your kids, lying to you about things in your life. And we should not accept people lying to us that we elected. We're not dumb. It's infuriating. And to think that we as a nation are dumb with this signal app, signal gate situation, whatever you want to call it, it's beyond disrespectful. Now, where will this end? Will people be resigning? Will people be fired? We don't know, like, where this is headed. Because I think that most people would say, nah, no one's going to resign. Probably no one will be fired. But the American people should say, come on, people. We've supported you. We elected you. And here you are in front of the entire world. You're going to spit in our faces and act as though, like, we're just that dumb. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that there aren't some people out there that aren't gullible. We have them. But I think that the majority of the American public, they understand what's happening here. And we know that in life, mistakes happen. Things happen that shouldn't happen. But what do we do? I think the word that came up yesterday was accountability. I think that that's what we should have. That's what I want. I think it's scary. No, it's beyond scary that no one is going to step up and say, yes, this is wrong. It's not blame the media. It's not blame the journalist. It's not any of that. We have had people that have continued to be asked. At the top of the hour news, when Taylor Rivera was just doing the news, you had a cut from Marco Rubio talking about, well, we're investigating. We need to see how this journalist ended up on the chat. We know how he ended up on the chat. He was invited to the chat. What are you talking about? We don't know how he just ended up there. It's stuff like that. That's unacceptable. It's stuff like that where people think that we're just going to just another day, we'll get over it. And I think that that's what a lot of politicians are banking on, is that the American people, this is a nothing burger. We don't care about national security. We don't care about people's lives potentially being on the line. We don't care about the privacy of security plans and stuff like that. We don't care. And we are living in a time where all of us should care. All of us should care because this is important stuff. when we are told months ago that people are being put up for jobs and these people are not qualified, and now we are months into the new Trump administration and we're seeing stuff like this, and it's getting worse. Like, you have to refresh all of your stuff in terms of social media and different websites. Every 5 minutes, it seems like there's more stuff that's trickling out. Now we're seeing that Waltz, he had some sort of, like his Venmo's been exposed. Like, huh, what? And he's got all of these journalists and all these different, like, that's not stuff that should be public. This is, and I'll say it again, like I said yesterday, one of the problems that we are encountering are that people feel as though that our government, our country, should be run like some sort of business. This is not a casino. This is not a real estate deal. This is not any of that. And this is infuriating. To be lied to on a daily basis. On a daily basis. Where's the outrage? I'm talking about from everybody. What should be the outcome here with this situation? 651-461-9226. Because in the words of Jason DeRussia and Dan Cook, I've had enough.
I think the problem here for me is when you've got people that are listening to it and they're like, you know what, I'm okay with being lied to. I'm okay with being lied to because these are our people. This is my party. This is who I want to listen to. Therefore, whatever they tell me, I don't care if it's true. I'm just going to go full bore, and I'm going to accept it. We need more people, like you're saying, to step up and have this just sense of morality and say, okay, this is not okay.
Let me ask you a question, okay? Yeah. Because I understand your sentiment there, because people, and this is from all sides.
Yes.
People tend to do that, right?
Like, yes.
Like,
they like to stay in their echo chamber and agree with
Democrats
what it is that
are
they
not
believe.
Immune.
No,
right?
They're not.
So this is not a just,
not.
I'm bashing MAGA, I'm bashing. But let me ask this question. If people are going to look at it through the lens of, well, I got to support this politician because, you know, that's the party I did. Would you accept that from your wife?
No.
Would you accept that from your son or daughter?
No.
So why would we accept it from people that we don't actually have a relationship with?
I don't know. That there seems to be a blind loyalty to whatever the messaging is, even if the messaging is obviously untrue. But it's not untrue. It's not lying depending on where you get your news.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, that's just where it is. Because there are some...
There's no justifying any of this right now.
Well, but there isn't. But I don't think we can look at, you know, people that are like, hey, you know what? Okay. So there was a mistake. Big deal. Because, like you said yesterday, if this happened under another administration, those people that are fine with it would be screaming to the rooftops, hey, this is not okay. You know, this administration really messed up. But because it's not a Biden administration, it's not an Obama administration. Regardless of who it is that you support, there needs to be an accountability. Pete Hegseth screwed up. Mike Waltz screwed up. Tulsi Gabbard screwed up. Donald Trump screwed up. Let's just admit that they made a mistake and let's fix it. That's the problem. It's always the blame game. It's always somebody else's fault. Why can we not have a... You teach...
How did the journalists get there? Like, that's the most infuriating.
Well, they hacked their way in. Are you freaking kidding me? They hacked their way in? I mean, who believes that?
651-461-9226. Your reaction, whether a text or phone call, I'd love to hear from you next year on The Lake Show. All right, 651-461-9226. Your reaction to this debacle, this national embarrassment, and everybody, every single person on the text line is texting in. They all agree. They all agree. And one text in particular from the 651. This is the problem with Trump's appointees. A four-star general would not have communicated attack plans via non-secure network. Which leads to, this leads to something that we're going to play here. Because we know that the previous administration was made up of President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. Take a listen here to, and this is not anything that's happened in the last day or two. This is previous sound bites of Kamala Harris in interviews talking about, like, communication, just standard communication and things that just cannot be done.
I don't get to text anymore. I have all these things on my phone that prevent, you know, for the sake of security.
Yes.
But I used to love our family group texts. Like when we would, I mean, it was everything. Like when Wordle first came out, did you get the word?
Yes.
Or when, you know, like, right? It was just, it was so good.
How often do you Uber Eats dinner to the White House? Do you Uber, or are you a DoorDash person? Don't tell me you're cooking all the time.
No, but we can't, for security reasons, I can't have deliveries.
They can't even get the people to Uber? Mm-mm. None of the DoorDash? Oh, girl.
But I do like to cook. I don't cook that often because I don't have time.
I'm curious, you have a phone. Do you get texts from you?
No, my phone has so many protections.
Oh, okay. Can you give me those?
No.
You can?
It's okay. Called outreach, Steven.
Oh, I
it's
totally understand.
Campaign.
All right, so there we have our previous vice president talking about what she can't do. So I don't want anybody out there to try to lie to our faces and promote nonsense about what's happening right now. Like, we have to wake up as a nation and understand that things are not right. This right now is unacceptable. Unacceptable. You should not have any of this going on. 651-461-9226. Let's go to John in Eau Claire. What's up, John?
Hey, Henry, I just want to start by saying, okay, I'm an independent, so,
yep.
You know, I don't vote straight Democrat or straight Republican.
Me neither.
I think anybody who always does, I
yep.
think they need a reality check.
Yep.
I said, you know, 6 months after this election, Americans are going to start saying, what the hell did we do? And I think I was really disheartened when I saw Republican control of both houses of Congress, because the bottom line is Donald Trump has a chronic history of being a liar, a cheater, and a con man. And it goes back to the fact of what he orchestrated on January 6th, never happened in history before, where somebody tried to overturn a legal election. And he continues to this day to lie about that election being stolen when it never was. That's the foundation. And now when he's appointed all his cabinet members and the Democrats rolled over and just accepted it, they're all a bunch of political hacks. They're all a bunch of political appointments that are as super unqualified as you can find. And I'm not surprised at what we're seeing. It is outrageous and it's a tragedy, and we're going to get more of it. And Trump never, ever takes responsibility for anything. He never... His playbook is to deny, to attack harder,
yep.
and to try to disgrace and totally never take responsibility. So we got what we voted for, and it's going to be a long 3.5 years before it's over.
All right, thanks for the phone call from John and Eau Claire. I'll say this, too. I think that part of the reason why not more people, specifically on the right, are not outraged is because no one was killed. But that's not the way you should look at this.
No.
Okay?
No.
You should feel that is a blessing and that we got lucky. That we got lucky. It's no different than a person drinking and driving. Like, we don't accept that people should be drinking and driving. So when somebody doesn't kill somebody or they don't get into a wreck, you know what? You feel lucky that's the outcome. It doesn't make it okay, though, that you were drinking and driving.
Yeah, you can be reckless and get, what's the saying? Everybody gets one. This is the mulligan. I mean, this has got to be a wake-up call, right? Admit, because we
not
need...
Not everything is a mulligan, though.
No, but...
Like, it's all dependent on the level of mistake that you've made.
You can't make this mistake again. You just can't.
And if you're Pete Hegseth, you cannot be... someone that the nation, okay, former military, high-ranking official said he's not qualified. You can't have all these people come on and say he's not qualified, and then this happened. That's not how any of this works.
No.
Let's go to Jeff in Sauk Rapids. How you doing, Jeff? Jeff.
Hey, Henry, are you there?
I am here. Where are you?
Okay. Well, I'm right here. I'll tell you what, my comment is, you know, I've lived through the Cold War and things subsequent to that. And a lot of, you know, political turmoil, but nothing like this. Absolutely nothing like this. I mean, I look back to the days of Kennedy, Reagan, you name it, even Johnson. Boy, I'll tell you what, we've never seen anything like this. And I absolutely cannot understand how the American people accepted a government like this. How they do it. I just don't understand why everyone is not standing up and saying, no, no more of this crap. This is ridiculous. This is stupid. Nobody's doing it.
Hey, thanks to the phone. Yeah. Thanks to the phone call from Jeff in Sauk Rapids. I think that's the other layer to this that bothers me, is that not enough of us, and I'm not talking about people that are just super lost in the sauce. I'm talking about enough people with common sense, common damn sense, just good people that understand something is very wrong here, that we're putting people in positions to harm the country and not help the country, not saying anything. Now, I know it's more easier for me to say something because I'm sitting here on a massive platform and radio station talking to you about it, but it really is frustrating to have to deal with the fallout of so much of this stuff. To see in it's one thing after another, and I'm happy, and I'm glad that the editor-in-chief earlier today of The Atlantic, that he put the chat out there, because people need to understand how serious of an issue and a mistake was made here. Because this is not acceptable. This is not something that we should be looking at moving forward. All right, 651-461-9226. Maybe we'll get back to this here a little bit later. But one of the things that I wanted to get into, because I saw this story just a couple of days ago, is the lack of support for the LGBTQ pride parades. And why is there such a lack of it all of a sudden? We get to that next year on The Lake Show. It feels as though, and I'm not saying 100% this is the case, but it feels as though that right now in the country, corporations are looking to not support LGBTQ organizations and events the way that they have been supported for the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years. And I just wonder why we are now in this, in a new day, an area where they're not going to get that support. The first thing that we saw was a few months back, or I can't remember exactly when it happened, but remember there was the whole, like, you know, Target and, you know, what we're not going to have, and the pride parade, they said, well, you know what?
We're pulling back.
You're not going to be a part of it. All that stuff, right? So I get that. If that's the call they're making, that's one thing. But when you look at specifically around the country, certain events and plans and parades, and these organizations are seeing that sponsors are backing away, I'm trying to figure out, like, why that is. What is the issue there? Is it all of a sudden we don't care about that community? Are we saying that we just don't give a damn about pride parades anymore? Like, make this make sense to me.
I think people and companies, right, it was en vogue to support diversity. It was en vogue to be, you know, be supportive of the LGBTQ plus. Like, it was, you put yourself in the good graces of people, right? And it was the right thing to do. It was feel good for the inclusion. And now, you know, since we've seen the elimination of the, you know, of the diversity, you know, and DEI, whatever you want to call it, we've got companies that I feel are a little skittish about wanting to be associated with anything that might, you know, be in conflict to the current administration.
So it's so what you're telling me, it seems like.
I mean, I don't know if that's true. That's my perception.
It's all about marketing.
Yes.
And trying to look good as opposed to actually caring and supporting people.
Yes. Yes.
That's sad.
It's public perception. Right. Because if you lose the PR war, I mean, that one thing I will say about the Trump administration and, you know, what he's done over the years is there's one thing that he has done very well, and that is carve an argument against the people that he does not like. It might be rooted in complete fabrication and nonsense and phony baloney. But one thing that he does is they've got attack dogs in terms of people that will go out and they will, you know, they will belittle and they will demean and they will degrade those companies that are willing to be associated with that. So why would these companies, even if they believe in the cause, why would they put themselves out there to be a target by this administration?
Yeah, but I'm not even looking at it from the top down. Like, I get that a lot of things we look at and we'll say, well, man, Trump has a certain thought about this,
mm-hmm.
or he feels a certain way. When you look at some of these companies that are making decisions, like, you know, what's the phrase that a lot of the young people say? I'm standing on business. Is this about Trump, or is this about your company just isn't doing? Because I'm not putting this on Trump.
No,
I'm not.
I'm not saying it's all on Trump, but it's all political. But I guess I just can't look at this and see the drastic change over the past, you know, 5-6 months and think that there isn't a coincidence. Like, there is a connection there, even albeit maybe it's even loose, but
that makes it more sad.
There's a connection there, and maybe this is them just getting out in front of it, saying we don't want the smoke. They don't want it. They just want to kind of go about their business. And then if something changes in the future with a different administration and different attitudes and whatnot, then you can see those companies come back around and be a little more vocal.
The San Francisco Pride director, Suzanne Ford, according to the USA Today, they say that she feels both saddened and determined about their iconic Pride parade this year. Their organization is dealing with the potential loss of $300,000 in corporate sponsorship. Multi-year sponsors, including Comcast and Anheuser-Busch, have all backed away from participating. There's some other ones. And she says, quote, "We're very disappointed. We're hurt. It's not just a number or transaction. We know everybody's facing difficult decisions to make right now, but we're not going anywhere." I will say this about the times that we're living in. I'm not going to sit here and just look at every single decision that's made and make it a political one. That's not fair to anybody. That's not fair to the organizations. It's not fair to the companies and the sponsors, because I don't believe that. I'm not buying that. But I do feel, because, and the reason why I say it is because of the economy, okay? Because of the economy and where things are going, let's just be honest, Chris. Some companies have to make tough decisions, okay? We mm-hmm. understand that. But some of these moves don't feel like it's we're cost-cutting because we're just in so much horrible financial trouble. It seems like they're doing things because of other reasons.
What are those reasons?
And that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to figure out. That's what I'm asking. 651-461-9226.
I feel like everything, though, even if it's subconsciously, everything now has a tint of politics involved in it. Even if we don't want to admit it, everything has a tint of politics in it.
Sports?
Sport, of course. Sports is always political.
What is political about your bracket?
The fact that my team wasn't woke enough to even get out of the first round. M-I-Z-S-U-C-K-E-D. There. Now I'm done. Okay. But that's okay because KU won as many games as Mizzou, so that doesn't make me feel
Watch
too
your
bad.
Mouth.
That makes me feel okay. But I do feel like we are just in a situation where if you are going to pull back, and you're right, the economics, I mean, I think we can relate to the economic part of business, right?
And it's not just San Francisco, it's other cities,
no,
too.
Absolutely.
It's all across the country.
Yeah, this is not just exclusive to one area. But I do believe that there is a lot in there. If it was in vogue to support the LGBTQ plus community, then if you had to make economic cuts, you would make cuts that would not affect your perception with your consumers. You know what I mean? With public. I feel like perception is reality nowadays. And when you're looking to make cuts in your company, if it's marketing, advertising, public relations, you know, staff, whatever, there's always going to be a level of perception about it. And if you are taking resources away from something that isn't deemed to be, you know, hip or cool or something that is worth supporting at this point, because that changes. I mean, it changes from year to year what people want to, what they want to support financially.
From the 612, agree, it seemed popular to support, but now the popularity is worn off. Now it seems less mandatory, and let's face it, support for companies equates to dollars, money, and everything is a line item that can be reevaluated to see if it's worthy of money being spent on just my thoughts. That's a good text.
Yeah, a very good text.
This one from the 952. It's like the LGBTQ expects more appreciation and support than our veterans. BS. No, that's something that you're making up in your mind. Because I've never heard one person from the LGBTQ community expect to be appreciated more than veterans. Now, if you really cared about veterans, Texter, you would be concerned about the lack of support that veterans are getting from the current administration right now. That's what you should be concerned about.
We should be.
Who has ever said that the LGBTQ community plus should be respected more than veterans?
No, nobody has said that. Nobody has said you're going to put LGBTQ plus, you know, individuals over the veterans. Because you know why? People can coexist simultaneously. And guess what? They can also be a part of both communities, right? I mean, it is allowed to be part of both communities. Nobody has said you need to put one over the other. You can both exist. It's okay. But to say that one absolutely is demanding, I mean, it's a ludicrous thing to put out there.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of a ludicrous text, too. Henry, why do people have a need for a pride parade? We don't have a heterosexual parade that I know of.
That must be one of my family members.
Like
that's
I mean, that's a really ridiculous. I mean, it's almost not even worthy of a response. And by the way, we've had heterosexual parades. We've had guys that did the. Remember, they did the parade in Boston a couple of years ago to show how badass they were. Like, I don't care who has a parade. Like, I mean, are you upset that you're not able to participate in a heterosexual parade? Like, who needs that? Do we have heterosexual parades when our teams win? Well, here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, we haven't had a whole lot of parades.
What is a parade? Hey,
Google, what's
a parade?
Come on, man.
I mean, the last one from the 651, I've seen the parade. Granted, heterosexual man, that was some of the most lewd and disgusting displays of outright nudity, sex, and other atrocious activities. I've seen the pride parade here, and I've not once seen anything lewd about it. It's when you are walking through it.
Have you been to Mardi Gras? Texter, have you been to Mardi Gras? Have you ever been to spring break in Daytona Beach? Huh? Stop it. No. Stop it.
But, I mean, the texture, it is racist. We don't have Caucasian parades. It's a good comeback. It's a good one.
What's racist about the LBG?
It's racist because...
Oh, man. My head's going to hurt now.
There, it's
we were doing so good on the text line.
I know. What happened? What happened? God. What happened? We got a good first half hour.
It's racist.
I mean, we don't have Caucasian parades, you know? We have Caucasian parades. We just don't have them here.
I mean, Nazis have parades nowadays. Ooh. Have we seen those?
Wow.
Coming up next. The Jonas Brothers are coming to the XL Energy Center. But me personally, I have one issue. We get to that next year on The Lake Show. I know that tonight, well, I don't know if tickets are on sale yet, but I did see the nugget about the Jonas Brothers coming to XL Energy Center. Their 20th anniversary tour, going to go on sale this week. And I know that Chris Tubbs will probably purchase some tickets for he and the wife. I'm not. And it's not because this is a banger, right? This is a banger. Oh, I love this song. It's not because I wouldn't want to see the Jonas Brothers. It's because I have put myself on a budget. I have a concert budget, and I feel like the next concert that I go to, unless I get free tickets, I'm tapped out. I don't know how many concerts a year you go to, Chris, but the majority of my entertainment spending will go to sports stuff and a couple of concerts, right? I'm not a big movie goer, so you don't have to worry about me going to the IMAX and all that stuff, whatever. Maybe one or two movies a year, but typically like screenings. But I love to go to one or two concerts. I have already spent a bunch of money for the Kendrick Lamar SZA tour that's coming up here in like 3 weeks at US Bank Stadium. So, Jonas Brothers, I'd love to see you. If you're listening, I mean, if you could hook your boy up with some relatively cheap, good tickets, I'll take them. But yeah, I'm pretty much tapped out. I'm on a budget this year with concerts.
Well, I think you have to pick and choose where you're going to go. And that's, I mean, it's a nice problem to have when you're in this area.
Uh-huh.
Because we do have a plethora of options. But you're right. Your entertainment dollar, because we talk about it being such a saturated sports market, it could be a saturated entertainment market. When you do have, because you've got your fine arts, your plays, your, you know, your screening, your sports, your concerts, and you have it all over. You know, you have your big events at the X or Target Center, Target Field, but then you've got, you know, Mystic Lake, you've got Treasure Island, you've got all of these other amphitheaters. I may go to maybe two or three a year.
You go to three concerts a year? That's good.
Well, it depends on who's playing, though.
That's always the case.
Yeah, I mean,
you're not going to go to concerts if you don't like the people.
No, like last year, we went to Blink and we went to Foo Fighters all within a matter of like 3 weeks, just because that's how it ended up lining up. So, I mean, I don't know that there's anyone on the horizon that I've got right now. Like, I can't think of one.
So right now on your schedule, you don't have one specific, you don't have any concert plans as it stands right now.
No. I mean, again, there might be something that would change if something gets announced, but I'm in a position where I have to pick and choose. Like, well, because for instance, comedian Matt Rife, who was at, he was at Target Center a couple of days ago on Sunday night.
Okay.
We were going to go because my wife loves him. It just so happened that it just didn't work with other things that are going on. Now, Fortune Fourmeister, the comedian. She's fantastic.
Okay.
We were going to go see her, and I don't know if we will or not, but that's going to be in May. We may end up going, but you know, we go to the Ordway, the Orpheum, State Theater, things like that. But, yeah, I mean, altogether, non-sports, if we hit five events a year, We're out on the town quite a bit.
Yeah, I just, you know, I'm sure that there'll probably be another concert that I will try to go to at some point. I just don't know what that is. But I know that I paid more than I should for a concert and a tour that I really wanted to go see. And one thing that I found out about these concert dates is that whenever a tour is announced, I have typically the last couple of years jumped to get really good tickets right away. You know what's really a good practice? Is to wait.
You wait because then they open up more seating and and that's the thing.
And that's what happened with the Usher concert last year.
Oh yeah, because you just kind of did that last minute, didn't you?
I did it the same day.
Yeah,
and I ended up getting a great seat for like $100.
And that's also part of it too when they look at the ticket demand, because you may get into the Ticketmaster queue or Live Nation, whatever. You're in that queue and you're waiting and waiting. And then it's like, okay, you're in. You got four seats. We got to get them now. Well, what happens if I wait? I got to get them now. Well, if they go back in the queue, you may get something better. You may not. So it's a real crapshoot when you're, sorry, I just gave you like two different fingers with the cues.
Whoa.
5650. Oh. I think I told you 5650.
All right.
Yeah, I didn't mean to give you those fingers. I apologize. But no,
man, that sounds gross.
It does sound gross, but yeah. You know what I mean. Yeah, I think it's all about his plan.
The one thing that you have to love is that you know that you can get one or two concerts from a Twins game. Is Nelly supposed to be performing this year? Or did he perform last year?
I can't remember. I don't know.
Was it typically don't hang around for the concerts.
Yeah.
And I can't do a final pitch from the stadium when that stuff's going on. It's too loud.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that I've ever tried to wait last minute. I probably should, though. I just feel like I have to get it just so I can have my tickets. And so that way
the comfort of knowing that I'm going and I'm going to have good seats.
Absolutely. Because you never know when some of these are going to sell out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm still of the belief that, man, it goes on sale. If I'm not part of the pre-sale, I got to be there. I got to be in the queue before it opens.
I'm with you.
Maybe that's just old school.
I'm with you. All right. That's going to wrap up hour one. Opening up hour two. What the heck is going on with the Minnesota Wild? The Minnesota Wild are struggling. I'm not going to sit here and say that they're not going to make the postseason, because I think that we all believe that they are. But, man, it's dicey right now. Jesse Pierce on the Bar Down Beauties podcast. She joins us next year on The Good Neighbor.